You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Yo, welcome to the New Old Heads episode
357.
Magnum. Oaktown, what's going on? I am your host, well, not necessarily host, but I'm going to do the intro today, DJ J Div.
How you feeling?
Mic question. Yeah. Not too bad, man. I'm good.
Yeah.
And then we have the voice of longevity.
Yeah, I'm over here doing stuff.
Okay. So, yeah. Indeed, like usual.
Yeah, you know, so.
And then we got my guy Jay Moore.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, back in the saddle again. So, you know, we're going to see if we can anger anyone's fan base again, yeah. Because we got a special guest tonight.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
hi,
indeed.
Guys.
And that is the voice of my guy, Brother to the Night.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all. Let me come shoot the stuff with y'all.
The stuff. Yeah. The rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Yeah. How you been?
I've been great, man. You know, looking forward to getting some comments. You know,
ruffling some feathers.
Yeah, you know, since, you know, I don't know nothing about music and, you know.
You know, that tends to be the case a lot of times with us for some reason.
Yeah.
I think we've put in enough time and, you know, got enough credentials to know a little something,
but, just a tad.
It is what it is, you know.
But you notice when people want to like criticize our takes, they'll bring up everything else but like the music.
Yeah.
Like you know, because I said last week, and I don't not backing down off it. Like for his popularity now and the resurgence of what he's been able to do and go out on tour, you know, it doesn't make Vanilla Ice's music good. He's not a Hall of Famer, if you will.
Nah. Yeah.
And it's not even like, you know, somebody who's on the cusp of being in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, people bring up, well, he overcame substance abuse and he still
has
14 and he, you know, and he's made HGTV. They'll bring up everything but the music.
Yeah.
Some of you guys may know that T-Pain does he's like a live streamer now.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets his money on Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So he does that. He's a great personality. So if you ever, you know, catch him on Twitch, is actually super fun to watch. He'll like he'll play video games and make beats and do songs and interview people and stuff. So I don't know how much he still does it now, but he used to be super active. But one of his clips just popped up recently, and I don't know how old it is, but he talked about his publishing on Buy You Drink and how he essentially gets like nothing from that because of not necessarily like samples being used, but references of different people's music, like Walk It Out and the Little John, like what was the Little John?
Snap Your Fingers.
Snap Your Fingers.
Yeah. Step. Yeah.
And there was a couple of them. I don't know. We don't typically hear a lot of artists talk about this in the public about how writers come for them in this aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have any thoughts on this? You know, from any particular angle?
I think it actually, it wasn't his first single.
Right.
But I think it's one that in his situation,
that was a number one song for him.
It was a number one song. So it actually did him well because it pretty much put him on the map, put him in people's ears who weren't necessarily familiar with him. And it gave his career that boost. I mean, he was writing hooks for every single person for like, what, about two, three summers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was already huge by then, though.
He was, but I think that song is what like kind of propelled him
the next step,
even higher,
next level.
You know what I'm saying? So I think
to have a number one pop hit, it always takes you to the next level.
Situation, it kind of benefited him. Mm. And some other people have done the same thing, and their music didn't transcend as well as they might have thought it would be.
I'd say Bartender's bigger than Buy You a Drink, though.
I don't think so.
On a pop level?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
You got to think, I'm going to a Caucasian club.
Okay.
Buy You a Drink, I mean, it's not going to get played over Bartender.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I think it might.
Yes, it is. On a national commercial right now as we speak.
Bartender was a big record, but Buy You a Drink is out of here.
Well, and it's the familiarity to it. Like, people who don't know the song, who are first now hearing that song, they already know some of the words.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I think it's a bigger song, definitely. Than a Bartender.
Plus, he's using a whole bunch of references of other songs. So
it's familiar to people already.
Yeah.
So you can drop that in the club.
I'm in Love with a Stripper.
And nobody would have ever heard it. and they're going to pick up on it because you're saying stuff they remember.
Yeah, they can sing along to it without it could be the first time they heard the song and they're already going to be able to sing along to it.
You know how late that is in the song?
I mean, yeah, it is.
It's the first, damn near the first thing he says on there is snap your fingers.
No, it ain't.
It is.
Oh, you're right. He's in the beginning. You're right. You're right. Snap your fingers. You can do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby girl, what's your name? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink.
There you go, man.
Which doesn't happen anymore. Like when you see, you know, dudes be waiting for women to buy them drinks.
Oh, man. Man.
They'd be like, why aren't these girls talking to me?
Well, Biggie said, as soon as you buy that wine, I'm creeping up from behind. So,
yeah. Has that ever happened to you, though? You bought. I just had a discussion about that today.
Flashback?
Yeah. You in the club, you know what I mean? And you see something that you like. Pull her to the side. Hey, baby, how you doing? Let me buy you a drink. You buy a drink, and she play like she interested until she get that drink, and she's like, all right, have a nice night.
Yeah,
look,
yeah.
Just like the song say, shoot, if I buy you a drink and you drink it up, you coming home with me. No.
That's drunk shaming. You can't drunk shame anymore, man.
No.
She doesn't owe me anything because I bought her a drink.
Correct.
No, like, please. I got to stop talking like everybody knows my heart and somebody going to be like, he's problematic.
Yeah, can we at least finish the conversation? Yeah,
we've been getting some placements here lately, so we got to be careful.
Exactly. That'll wind up in one of these documentaries about men and the brutality of hip hop. And I'll be like, well, I was just kidding. It's just, you know what I thought about? Do you remember when Mims and This Is Why I'm Hot? He must have referenced about 10 different records.
He did.
I wonder if they came after him in this.
And he
way.
Used the production.
They might have because of so it's one of those things just like sampling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the writer's aspect of this is that's the other side of writing, right? So typically when you hear like writers come at artists, it's because of like literally using some work. But ASCAP or BMI, these publishing companies, they literally, their purpose is to protect writers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you register your song, you are considered a writer, even if you just make the music. Okay. So it's one of those things where you don't see those conversations pop up that often, mm-hmm. about like, oh yeah, I said this line, and because this is a popular line, I have to pay this person.
Because a lot of times they already got the paperwork situated beforehand, so they don't have to talk about it.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
On the writing, aspect?
I can't remember what Beyonce song it is.
Well,
it
Beyonce,
just happened recently.
She used something from Soulja Boy. So Soulja Boy got a Grammy because she got a Grammy.
But Beyonce also knew better. Like, she's a great example of knowing, like, all right,
They're going
to come after me because I'm this big. You know, it's just like sampling a record. Like, sometimes you can get away with sampling a record if it doesn't blow up. But once it blows up, they're going to come after you. But I haven't seen very many instances where something like this has particularly, happened on the back
Cisco.
End.
Yeah. Cisco with, if he'd have just left
out. Living La Vida Loca.
Yeah. That cost him millions of dollars.
Yeah.
He
said it a whole lot of times in that song.
Oh, that's true. It's one verse. He keeps saying it. Yeah.
And then Uptown Funk, you know, retroactively gave Trinidad James, shout out to Dizzy, he's giving us stats right now, they said, don't believe me, just watch it. They gave songwriting credit to Trinidad James.
That's why he still got gold all in his mouth.
Exactly.
And dad socks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And a fresh curl.
Don't get me wrong, this is all good. I like the fact that the writers are being compensated for their creativity in this aspect. But don't typically see that very often. So.
All right.
It worked for T-Pain, though. But what would you say? What would you say his biggest record is, though?
T-Pain's biggest record.
Yeah.
It's probably that.
Is it that? I'm in love with a stripper?
No.
It was definitely Buy Me a Drink.
Buy me a drink.
Yeah.
That was, you know, if you, when you hit number one Billboard mainstream, whatever, like, that's,
you guys
your
are all
song.
DJs and in the club. I'm not. So
that's what people know T-Pain from. No. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, T-Pain got some really good albums and songs, but the main song people know T-Pain from is Buy You a Drink.
It depends. You know, it depends on what room you're in, you know,
because or his because he's on
about to say,
a lot of the dopest songs
from Get Low.
The whole generation.
I was going to say Get Low.
Low. Well, Flo Rida.
Yeah.
See, that would make more sense to your point when you were talking about Bartender versus Get Low is definitely way more popular in those clubs that you was talking about.
Yeah. Low is definitely
I think they're like, all popular. In those
the thing is, like, this is when I was working in a spot called the Ice Lounge, and that's when that song got popping.
Yeah.
And, like, not paying too much attention, I was like, oh, well, Nelly's got another one, because he's talking about apple bottom jeans. Yeah. And it's kind of sing songy. And I realized it wasn't Nelly, and it was this other dude, Flo Rida.
Yeah.
He's one of them dudes that people that really like rap and hip hop do not like at all.
But you know what? People like, you know, there's just sometimes there are just people in the culture that white people almost like too much. And you wonder what's going on.
Flo Rida's
one of those people.
He's definitely one of those people.
Flo Rida was the MC Hammer of the 2000s.
I wouldn't even give him that much. I wouldn't even give him MC Hammer.
But you know how everybody was.
He's more of a more popular Tone Loc.
But the
boom. But the thing is, Tone Loc was really popular.
Yeah. He was.
And the thing is, with Flo Rida, he would have songs that were technically rap songs that wouldn't play in rap clubs. They would only play in those, like, rap.
Yeah.
And this is the crazy thing. Like,
they were playing the Ramada in Anderson.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the mid-90s.
Yep, you are correct.
I always say that.
And early 2000s.
I always say that Flo Rida worked because he...
Early 2000s.
He reminds white people of that cool black person they met at Senior Frogs during spring break. Yeah. Might have bought him some drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
I hated Whistle.
Whistle. What's Whistle?
Let me see you whistle, baby, whistle.
Oh,
baby.
That's terrible. Yeah. That's terrible.
I don't even know what that is.
Him and
Pitbull. Terrible. Yeah.
And he was getting money.
He was
getting to the money.
Man. Paid.
Yeah, let's see what else we got here. Did you guys listen to Nas's Magic?
Yeah.
Yes, unfortunately.
Damn.
Yeah, I did.
Man, he gave the cool. See, that's why we be getting in trouble, because you say stuff so fast.
So fast.
Exactly.
Hey. Yeah, that's why we be in trouble.
It wasn't hitting on nothing.
I don't know.
I don't think it's nothing I want to come back to. Mm. And I'm a huge Nas fan.
Me too. Right.
You know, that's who I sided with, you know, during the Great Civil War in the East Coast. Hey, I respect that the man is, you know, 50 years old and still doing what he's doing. But I'm tired of him and Hit Boy.
Well, I think that's the general sentiment.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they're stopping.
He said that's the last. Yeah, I'm sick of it.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, every album has some standouts on it. And then there's, like, these last two, as far as Magic is concerned, I was like... All right, because I loved Magic 1. I thought that was phenomenal. Yeah. I was so happy to get that a couple of days before Christmas. I was like, okay, this is a nice surprise.
Yeah.
But then the last Magic, I was like, okay, I like the record Bokeem Woodbine. I like, you know, there were some joints on there I liked. I didn't think it was a bad album.
You were satisfied.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, I'm tired. Like, I remember saying on the show then, okay,
it's
time for Nas.
Not even shut up, but
it's time for Nas to move on from Hit Boy.
Yeah.
You know, because Hit Boy, like, when his highs are high, he has a bunch of mid.
Yes.
I won't even say he has any low lows.
No, it's just mid.
You know? Yeah.
It was Reggie.
You know, but it's just like, you know, when you know he can do a song like Legit, where he flipped that 5 heartbeat sample.
Yeah, that was hard.
And, you know.
That was hard.
And then Car 85 and Brunch on Sundays.
Yeah,
and
those
then,
are
like,
all hits.
Some of the songs, I'm like, man.
So,
nah.
I think it goes to, like, sometimes you do need to go away. Just for a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, brother, Nas, I love you, brother. But sometimes you just sit down for a minute. Let me sit with this stuff. Yeah.
He in his bag. Yeah. He said he got to get it out.
No.
But I agree. It was a mid.
Well, you don't have to release it.
It's a mid.
You know, you can hold on to it. You know?
Yeah.
If he didn't, this is the thing. If he did do that, people would be upset.
No.
Because they know that he's recording stuff and holding on to it. And that's a fact with people that we like in general.
No.
If you know that an artist is making stuff and you can't hear it, you upset about it. You don't want to hear that Andre 3000 stuff that you know he's sitting on?
A little.
A little?
Only reason I say that because seek counsel first. You know what I mean? Like, go take it around your peers and let them listen to it.
Well,
and
if they
tell you it's mid, bro, hey.
That's the problem when you have somebody like Nas. His whole circle is either yes men or, like you said, you can't tell Nas nothing. And luckily, we see that they're at the end of this run, so we know we're not going to get that same sound anymore. But There was a couple jewels on this one.
Where? But to your point, I like the joint with Lil Wayne.
Yeah,
I like the
actually once the Lil Wayne track started, it got better. As far as the beginning part of that album was real, like, hey man, matter of fact, I stopped listening to it. I started listening to the Nas Project. I stopped it midway through and started listening to that Diddy or Love, whatever you call it. And that mug is hitting.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Yeah, that mug is hitting. The Diddy is hitting. Then I went back to the Nas and started listening from the not Nas. We know it's Nas. The Lil Wayne song on through the rest of it. It sounded better than that first half, in my personal opinion. But to y'all's point, I am happy that this run is over. I'm just interested to see who he's going to work with next.
Like I said, I know there's that song. There's a video of him that with Dr. Dre, and you hear the vocals. You hear the production. You're like, can we get that now?
Do you think it's a thing where maybe, of course, he's making a bunch of records and he's putting them out. What if they consolidated the best from Magic 2 and Magic 3?
Yeah. Yeah, you got an incredible album.
You know what I mean? So, like, maybe it's one of those things where Nas is just... He kind of feels like everything he puts out is worth putting out. So there is no quality control in that aspect. It, you know, it's just like, yeah, just put it out there. You know, which I don't even hate that approach necessarily, but...
But he's A&Ring his own projects, yeah. It seems
like. I feel like you have to kind of, like, take that into it.
Nas he just said that, too, though. He was just like, y'all need to start recording this stuff and putting it out.
Yeah.
It's like he's a firm believer in whatever I record.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there for y'all to hear.
But you know what? I think he also understands, and I don't know if he's thinking about this deep. It's like, look, it's not like I'm selling these CDs.
Yeah,
I'm putting it out. And, like, I'm not even going to lie. I got my own Nas, Magic, and King's Disease playlist that I put together. Just, you know, from my favorite moments from these six projects.
I think once you get to a certain level, like, we just expect more from you, man.
Is there, like, a responsibility?
Yeah, yeah.
We expect more from them in what way?
I don't want nothing mid from you, dog. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you set the bar so high. Listen. Like, if Kendrick gave me a project and the whole project was mid, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Because you set a precedent for me of excellence.
But listen, in the same token, as great as Nas just did, Nas has a couple mid offerings historically.
He does.
So it's not like this is something new from him as far as dropping something that everybody really ain't messing with.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of them along the whole time he's been out here.
Yeah.
And that was one of Jay-Z's talking points when they was beefing.
Jay can't really talk.
I mean, Jay got a couple Miz joints too.
I think it's an interesting conversation. Like, is that something from an artist's perspective that you should even care about? You know, should you
not when you're rich like him?
I mean, but that's, you know, but it's like
capitalism.
Do you hold on to it? Do you hold on to it? Or do you just put it out there and let the people who are going to like it, especially in the new era we're in, where it is content.
And you're not really making no money off of it.
Well, no, I said this before. Nas is not rapping to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he's rapping because he
loves it.
He has these things out and he wants to get them out. And he's like, why would I hold on to music?
Right.
And then he has people
I see that
not like us who are going to dissect necessarily or pick it apart. I mean, we still gonna listen to it and enjoy it too, but you have certain people of our age demographic that don't care what it is that he puts out, they still gonna rock to it.
For sure.
Because in their personal opinion it sounds better than anything else that's out here.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at everything with like a super microscopic lens, right?
Right.
So
that's what we do.
But you know, that's the point of everything. So all right, well, maybe I'll listen to it. I don't know.
And I can't really talk because, you know, I love Currency Records, so.
That's okay.
He just put out something.
He puts out something all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
But I always find something on there.
It's always something. So
that's the precedent for him, though. It's like, I'm going to find something. It's not like I need everything to be good.
Yeah. But that's not the case with Nas. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Would you say the same thing about Larry June? Is everything that Larry June puts out jamming, or is it like you can pick out
60 to 70% of it is jamming?
So about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's never put out a mid project.
I think the last project with him and Alchemist.
You think it was mid?
Based on the expectation. Like when we talk about expectation.
Okay. Because it's them two.
Yes.
Because it's definitely not a covert coupe.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? And it's not even the joints with Bodie.
It's not.
So I'll give you that. Cause I rarely go to some of those records on there, but he has some heat on there. He get it's about three or four records on there.
Some heat on there. But I think we kind of getting our subject when we talk. But it's still kind of it is because we're talking about a producer and a rapper.
Yeah.
So when Freddie Gibbs gets with
Alchemist,
Madlib,
yeah,
it's fire every single time.
Yeah,
there is no mid.
Shout to L. Brown
in those relationships. You know what I'm saying?
Look, I'm gonna say the same thing with Alchemist. When him and Alchemist got together, crazy. Yeah.
But to the Nas point, you know, like now, granted, Nas and Hit-Boy have more records.
They do have more records,
but
so there's more room for error.
But yeah, that's true. I like all those, but I'm also more of a Freddie Gibbs fan than a Nas fan. So there's that as well.
Yeah.
So
somebody's really going to have your butt for that.
I mean, they can be mad.
This is an Indiana based podcast. Yeah, so true. They can really,
you can eat one.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah. You know, munch.
So nobody in here besides me heard those two little brother records.
I listened to them.
Yo, I heard them.
Yeah, I did too.
I had a very busy day and yeah.
I think it sounded like the two new joints. It's called Glory Glory was one of them. Uh-huh. It was produced by Conductor Williams, or he used to go by D. Will. So shouts to him.
He's Conductor Williams. He produced a lot with Griselda.
Yeah. But even before that, he used to work with Stick Figure a lot.
Okay.
So shouts. That's the connect. I've actually got records with Stick through Mike Spitz.
Okay.
Okay, because Mike and they're both from like Topeka area. So, but I think that's where D. Will's from as well. So, or Conductor Williams, which he had like a rebrand, but
Kansas?
Topeka.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's where Stick's from. And then D. Will, I don't know where D. Will's from. Maybe he's not from Kansas, but I know that they connected somehow. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed. So I'm probably assuming wrong. He's probably from like Texas or something. The Glory Glory record was that one. And then the other record was We Wish You Well or something.
Wish You Well.
Wish You Well. That one sounded like it could have fit on May the Lord Watch.
I agree. Mm.
Glory Glory sounded like a mixture of that and kind of like old LB. I liked them both.
Me so too. Are they new songs or are they?
They're new.
Yeah, okay. I think they're new.
Yeah.
So there's new references and stuff on there that you can tell.
I'd have to listen again, but they seem
the one they were going new-ish. Back and forth on, I definitely heard new references. Yeah. And I think on the one of them, Tay is talking that talk. Tigolo is talking that talk. He's talking to somebody.
I don't know who.
Right. Mm.
But he's talking to somebody.
You're talking about the Glory record, I think.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's the one.
Yeah. He's talking to somebody on there and quit playing on his name.
Really? Oh, yeah. He said, I'm not Milton Bradley, is that what Milton Bradley?
Yeah, Milton Bradley. Yeah.
Yeah, don't play on my name.
Is he talking to the Canadian?
It could very well be that. But if that is the case, man, come on, T, leave it alone, bro.
I don't know what it is.
Because he's never going to address you.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That still really burns me up, man, about Drake.
Yeah, they should have been did something.
Man, together. Come on, man. That's wild.
It would only make Drake sound better.
Or just be like, oh, Drake pales in comparison to this person.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he would have to really rap.
He would.
And he'd have to really sing.
But he can. I think it would probably be a great record.
He might pull the best out of Drake.
He might.
I would hope so. It would give us the record that we was hoping for from him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when I heard Comeback Season, that's what I was expecting from him. I was like, oh, man, this dude is going to be Yeah, I just never really got that.
We didn't.
You know what I mean? Especially Thing Good Thoughts. I was like, oh my god!
I had the one where like it was like the sample hadn't been cleared and Drake just like he's talking over the end of it, and then I got the one where it's actually the full song, and I was like, okay, cool, I needed this.
What could have been?
Yeah, so I like the records, and it's great because. In a couple of weeks, I'll be traveling to Durham.
So you going?
I'm going.
Yeah, man.
I'm hating a little bit on the inside.
I am too, because I can't go.
The little brother block party in Durham. I will be there.
Yeah, I'm going to Houston next week. So
I got you. Yeah,
I can't do both back to back.
It's gonna be a good time, man. So Pete Rock and Common announced a joint project. Are you guys interested in this in 2023?
Pete Rock and who?
Common. C to the O double M O.
We were just talking about mid.
Yeah.
Now, Common, when Common is on, Common is still on.
He has not been on in a while for me.
But in Pete Rock.
His last one.
He's got
but you know, for a minute, Common was doing an NPR rap.
Yeah.
And Common is my guy.
Yeah,
yeah, mine
he's one of the people that, like, I was genuinely, like, excited to meet when I finally got to meet him.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I was a fan. Plus, it did, you know, I went to college with a bunch of dudes from the south side of Chicago, so we couldn't get away from Common, even uh-huh. if we wanted to. Yeah. But, like, Common is he's in there in my top 5, not top 10, depending on when you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
If Common is on his B, Fine and Forever stage, Common, and Pete Rock is on his Smoke Dizza and Pete Rock's, mm-hmm. Pete Rock, what do you think?
Yeah, it'll be a great project, but...
Is it going to mesh together?
Because I don't know if they've ever worked together.
I think it, man, if...
That's a good question.
But, you know, I as much as I love Common and DJ Premier, like, the song they did together, that wasn't really my favorite.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought, oh man, finally Common, and you know, he got some production from
But I feel
The Sixth Sense was not my joint.
Really, I like that record. I like that record.
I
like
that.
I think
I'm there for that.
No, I like that record. I would say this: Pete Rock impressed me. Mike and I talk about this a lot on the show about how production, like, doesn't sometimes they don't age with the time or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He impressed me with, like, the Smoke Desert joint.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah,
I was like, okay, I see you, Pete. Like, you've updated your sound. You're still you, but you've updated a little bit. I think if he comes with something more updated and Common is kind of in his rapping bag, I think it could be something really, I could maybe see it. But if it's not, it's going to be super mid.
Yeah.
If it's Microsoft Common, you know.
Yeah. Mighty J. Young said that Pete Rock did the itching you.
Mm.
Mm, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. See, I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Okay. Well, then there's precedent there.
Yeah. Whole project, though.
I mean, you got to
get in there and catch fire and do what you 25. Do. And like we were just talking about Nas and Hit-Boy is a more modern sound. Modern kind of throwbackish a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's not all the way modern.
But I feel like that.
It's not trapped out modern.
But I feel like Pete Rock's with Smoke Dizzle was like that.
Yeah.
And I think it was really good. I don't know.
It's certain people, though, I don't want to update their sound, man.
That's what I mean. But I don't think that's too crazy updated. You know what I mean? Like, that's like an updated version of them.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, Pete Rock trapping it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I don't either. I think it's one of those things where, like, if they did it and executed correctly, it could be really dope. Do I have, like, tons of faith in them being able to do that, even though they're incredible artists? Probably not, only because, like, we're in such a, like, well, I'll just wait and see stage. And so I'll wait and see.
I'm definitely on the side of wait and see in this particular situation, because I always want to hear a Common album, same way I always want to hear a Nas album, and I'm going to listen to it regardless, but I'm gonna be reserved as far as expectation,
right?
Especially when you get two heavy hitters like that together, kind of sort of from the same era. I mean, Pete Rock's beginning hip hop transcends Common by a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because everybody knows Common as who Common is now, but he actually went by Common Sense.
Yeah, right. Can I borrow a dollar?
Right. Even before that.
Yeah,
the thugged out Common Sense. I mean, he still rapped like Common, but he was a little different.
The one with the watermelon song.
Yeah.
I mean, he was still, you know, you got to understand.
I thought that was on Can I Borrow a Dollar?
Was it? You got to understand, the first two Common albums are littered with gang stuff.
Yeah.
Like WMOE, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know,
a lot of people here can attest to that and know for a fact that Common was banging at one point in time, and
you're right, Ken Albardella was
first. It didn't fare very well for him at one point in time, and he switched his image.
You know, yeah. So those first two Common albums, like, and I had to get put up on game from the cats from the South Side of Chicago when I went to college. I didn't get the references.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was like, oh, okay.
He was banging.
Resurrection is one of the most gang-bangingest albums ever.
Banging.
And people don't really, they think it's conscious rap, and to a certain extent it is.
I mean, it is.
But it is a thugged out record.
But see, that's the thing. There's levels to gangbanging, and a lot of gangbanging stuff is actually conscious. But that's a little too deep for y'all. I ain't going to talk about that.
That's why. Okay.
Initially, that's what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Common's got quite the run, man.
He does.
That's when I was saying, I don't really want, like, certain artists to update their, or certain producers to update their sound, because I can only imagine what Dilla would be on if he was releasing music, if he was still alive, you know what I mean? I don't know what type of sound he would have right now. But to listen to even the records that he did back then, they still sound new. He
was
so far
ahead of what everybody else was doing.
Man, I just watched a video of him chopping up a Rick James sample. And when I tell you the way that that's, I didn't even know that was a Rick James sample ever until like a week ago.
He was one of a kind, man. There's a reason why there's so much lore around Dilla. There's a reason why, you know, like, because his stuff, like you said, his stuff still, people are still chasing his sound.
Yes.
Today. Like
I don't.
Almost 2 decades after his passing.
Come on,
I don't
man.
Want to Pete Rock, and I don't think he's going to do anything like this, but like, I want him to be him. I don't want him to be like, I would do something like Take Heath would do.
You can't do that. See, the thing with Pete Rock, in my personal opinion.
Oh my God.
Is Pete Rock has classic joints. Of course, They Reminisce Over You. The stuff he did with Nas early.
Everything he did on the Pete Rock and CL Smooth, both those albums, absolutely. And Mecca and the Soul Brother. Yes. Classic.
Classic. But his sound is a particular
Soul
sound.
Survivor.
Oh, Soul Survivor was my favorite joint out of 98.
But I like the records he did with Jim Jones.
Yeah, when did he do something with Jim Jones?
Look, man, I know I keep G's saying up, I keep down. Saying this. I keep saying this, but his album with Smoke Dizza was really, really good.
Okay.
Like he's done three piece instrumentals. Yeah, like all his piece
instrumentals. Yeah, the instrumental.
Survivor 2.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he has a run.
That Soul Survivor 1 was heat though.
Yeah, can't dispute that.
Yeah, man. I mean, regardless if he's weird on Instagram.
You said Common and Sexy Red.
You know, a Midwest St. Louis Chicago collaboration.
Nobody needs.
At all. We might as well throw Suki on there too.
Look.
Suki with the big dookie.
Hey, look, remember Common did a song with Gucci Mane.
Hey, man.
No, and Gucci Mane got it. Look,
I don't remember.
There's a lot of... It was a remix. But the thing is, there are people who think, I'll get on a song with Gucci Mane and I'll, you know...
Kendrick got a song with Gucci.
You know who else got a song with Gucci? J. Cole. And J. Cole got ate up by Gucci.
He did, actually. And that's
that just
really
came
sad.
Out like a week or so ago, didn't it?
It did.
Oh, Retropolitan with Sky Zoo. Yep. I forgot. Sky Zoo and Pete Rock did
a
project.
Oh, yeah. That was a good project.
That was real good, too. Yeah.
So, you know, now we've kind of talked through it, we should be excited about this project.
Yeah.
Pete knows enough production wise to like,
if Common
he's not going to not do him.
Because I've seen Common, you know,
Common to me is the X Factor.
Like, he got on something with the LA Leakers and he just got to rhyming.
Yes.
And
that's
what
we need.
Well, I wanted this on the album, man.
Yeah.
This is what I want from you.
I don't want to hear about your uncle no more.
Hey. You stupid.
Yeah, leave some skeletons got to stay in the closet.
All right, let's shout the partners out.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Welcome back.
We are here.
Ha-ha.
To the heads of the new. All right, so this is one that I saw. This is kind of, I think, maybe more serious. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but I thought it was kind of a cool conversation. Shouts to Sleepy, guy who is, it's funny that I'm going to say, a local drummer, because that's what we're talking about.
He's a drummer that is based here in Indianapolis.
Based in Indianapolis, and when I say local drummer, I just mean that he's locally here, not that he is a local artist, because he's not. He is international. But that gets into the conversation here. So Sleepy shared this post, and he said, "Artists from Indianapolis, are you guys really cool with being referred to as local artists? There's nothing local about my art. It's been heard all over the country many times. But if you never aspire to leave your locale, then you might just be a blank." So this brought up the very interesting conversation about where people were talking about, it's cool to call people local artists. It's cool not to call local artists. And at the same time, I have my own specific take on this because I am an artist that could be considered local if you want. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'll open it up and then we can just kind of talk about this idea.
Can you tell me what the blank was?
No, it literally was blank.
Oh, OK.
Like, you are a blank.
OK.
Yeah. So,
I think people use that term just because it's, you're somebody, you're tangible.
Right.
It's somebody that you, I can actually touch. And we're in a day nowadays where you wouldn't know how big somebody sitting next to you actually was unless you were really paying attention to who they were.
Right.
Because the dude you're talking about, the mm-hmm. drummer that you're talking about, I've never heard of
him. Sleepy from Native Sun Band?
Yeah. Oh, from Native Sun. Okay. You tell me Native Sun.
Yeah.
I hear that. But
yeah.
But you never know how big they are just because it's a whole nother marketplace out there.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That nobody ever knows. So, I mean, artists, sometimes we can be sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So don't take it as a shot. You know what I mean? Because somebody calls you a local artist, it just means that you're tangible to
them. So, to a degree, and here's where I think his argument comes into play, because I agree with what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
As somebody who does something locally and has a, it's like I kind of equated it to this. Terry and I have talked about this too. Like, you have people come up, and it's not just about music. It's just in general. To me, it's kind of a condescending type of thing to say.
Sometimes
it's kind of a microaggressive in a way, in the sense of like, people be like, "Oh, are you still doing your little blog? Oh, you're still doing your little podcast?" Mm. It's that type of energy.
Yeah, when you say little, that's the part, though.
Yeah, but so what I'm saying is that
when you say local,
when you say local artists and you just call people local artists, just
minimizing
in general,
my art,
your intention, that's the same type of energy of what that is.
More so about the people on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So like, if we're talking amongst ourselves and we're saying such and such is local,
it's different.
But there can be the other side of it too, where someone just aspires to be local
mm-hmm.
because they want to be locally popular
yep.
versus seeing the bigger picture. Like, I mean, technically we're local, mm-hmm. but we're national.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So like, we have a lot of people here that know who we are, and we have people nationally that know who we are, but we're still a local podcast
because
mm-hmm. we're featured on a local radio station.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're all a part of the community locally. Right. So
we're part of the culture here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
I think that's the thing. Like, I think those are two completely different things. Right. So it's like, yes, we're all local. Everybody's local to somewhere. Right. Right? But when you as somebody else try to pigeon somebody out and say like, "Oh yeah, this local artist over here," or you try to say, "Hey, local artists," mm-hmm. or something like that, to that manner, to me, it's very condescending because it's trying to diminish what somebody's doing. And even a step further, what Sleepy actually brought up, and then I'll let you chime in, Jay, is that it kind of messes with the infrastructure of what artists locally get paid when they view you as a local artist.
That's true.
So if the conversation is continually being had and be like, "Oh yeah, this local artist, this local, oh, locals, you're literally downplaying who they are.
That's kind of what we were talking about earlier before the podcast, as far as like when we give somebody rates and they want to pay such and such, not from here, this want to kind of downgrade what you get paid. So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I just think it's terminology that, and shouts to David, I don't know if it's intentional. Sometimes I don't think that it is, but I think it's one of those things that it needs to be beaten to people's head. Like, stop doing that.
Because
it has like, it affects the local artist economy. Mm. And I think that's where the problem becomes. Mm. So.
I think it all started from Juice.
From Juice?
Queen Latifah.
It's like, "Oh yeah, you local."
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, you local.
Yeah, but you local in New York is different local in Indiana.
Absolutely. Especially at that time.
What do you think?
Because everybody was local to New York, were popular nationally.
Right.
That's not true.
Well, most people, that's where everybody, all the record deals was coming from out there.
Yes and no. It's a million people probably that was doing it out there that they probably never heard of.
Probably.
But they as far as who was getting signed, though.
That's real.
At one point, I didn't want to take it as offense. Like, if somebody says, "Oh yeah, you know, from, you know, local podcast," I was like, "Well, once again, you're tangible." Yeah. Like, if somebody says, "Oh yeah, a local podcast in New Old Heads," even I could. But at the same time, I know we're international,
right?
You know, I know we're getting looks.
So personally, it doesn't really affect us.
So it doesn't. No, but at the same time, like, we know how that word might be perceived
trigger
by
some people.
Who are here don't want to really
exactly
yeah so I
people won't want to mess with us if we're perceived
and
as
we talk
local.
We talk about right. local things because it directly affects us,
correct?
You know what I'm saying?
But everybody talk about, does even the quote-unquote national podcast, you
exactly
know what I mean? Like
yeah
they so. Talk about what's local to them.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
It just so happens that they're in a different market.
Yeah, we happen to be in Indianapolis, Indiana, the great state, the great city of Indianapolis in the great state of Indiana.
Yeah.
Straight up.
No, I mean, and so, you know, I have to think about it like that, because sometimes what your internal perception is different than how you want people to perceive you. Yes, you're local. Yes, you can go ahead and touch these people and they can come and talk to you. But just because you say, okay, I know you, don't diminish what it is that I am projecting out to the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because we get love from all around the country. If not, once again, not just all around the country, all around the world,
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, considering, you know, people think enough of us to steal our content and put it on, you know, documentaries and not credit us. So clearly we're doing something right.
Some.
Yeah. I don't even anymore, though. Like it happens before, like, and you'll see that weird type of energy. To me, it's typically when I see it, it's always somebody trying to just like lower you,
mm-hmm.
trying to diminish you a little bit, or try to, I don't know, bring you down a level.
It's one of those things where people will consider you local on that type of level until like you're like big.
Yep.
Yep.
And then they want to be like, oh, I've been down for you
the whole time. That's my man.
The whole time. You know what I'm saying? So
that's where I was going to go with it right after that. It's the psychology around that type of thing, specifically, I think from a smaller ish city like that, is very prevalent here.
On some hater type stuff, like, oh, his show ain't this, it ain't that.
Well, you're going to get that.
Come on, man.
Man, anytime you're doing something successfully, you're going to receive a certain level of hate.
For sure.
You know what I mean? From somebody that wishes they were doing what you were doing, or they're not doing what you're doing at your level.
Yes. And it's just like it's a numbers thing, I think, more than anything. It's just you're reaching so many more people that those haters, they're there now.
Yes.
You
know,
no.
And Mike Epps is local. You know why he's local? Because he's present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You might run into Mike Epps at Mom's Donuts.
You might run into Mike Epps.
Right.
But that says a lot about his character, too, because he could be somebody like the rest of people to get on
turn
here.
It back.
Just get on and be done with it.
Kenneth.
I mean, he has a whole show based out of here. Well, two shows. He has a show on HGTV based out of here, and he has a show on Netflix based out of here.
Mm.
He's literally puts on for the city on a national level,
right.
But he's still local.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if everybody looked at it the same way that you see like Mike Epps and other people in the city that are putting on and doing what they're supposed to do, then you would have a better understanding of what local and national and, you know what I'm saying,
right.
still being bigger than just from Indianapolis, Indiana means.
And you know, I just said something slick, really, but I probably need to chill out on that, man. Like, because I did used to feel a certain way about Babyface, about him never coming back here. But I understand probably in that day what the city was doing. You know what I mean? To he probably did want to come back here and do something for the city, whatever, but
think about it, is a lot of those situations is we don't necessarily see everything that a lot of these people do for the city.
Yeah.
Because it's not on our level. And not saying that we're not that important, but it may be things behind the scenes that they're doing. I mean, he's got a whole interstate section named after him. I don't know if it's just on the strength of him being from here.
Probably.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. And you, probably.
So you're saying because he didn't come back and when he had LaFace and he didn't really put nobody on from Indy?
That's not true. He did. A few good men.
Yeah.
Oh,
they went to Washington.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to Washington.
And look, if he did anything, he came back and got his brothers.
And they made a good Christmas song. I'll give him that.
What, Silver Bells?
Yeah, Silver Bells.
Yeah.
Kenny, come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's a podcast here that would love to talk to you.
Come on, man.
I mean, it's not hip hop, but.
Yeah,
they would still love to talk.
Ain't it rather weird though that like some of the main ingredients of people in this music business since the 90s or 80s actually are from here?
Yeah,
so from like, here or just from the Midwest in general?
Right. So no, or from the Midwest in general. But they are instrumental. Like LaFace put out Outkast, my favorite rap group of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Babyface is from here.
Babyface is from here.
L.A.
is from Cincinnati.
Yeah. Then you have Coach K for the newer people.
Quality Control,
who was instrumental for the Migos, for Gucci Mane, for
Jeezy. I remember when they was passing out the streets is watching here.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody from here.
But you know who does a bunch of their production? Cat named Metro Boomin.
All right, hold up. It's from St. Louis. Okay, hold up though. Because shout out to Boyboy317. You know what I mean? He just did an interview with somebody. I can't remember where it was. Mm-hmm. But it was talking about, like, quote unquote, I'm not going to say it. Artists from Indianapolis. And how every time an artist from Indianapolis gets some type of buzz, they end up going to jail.
Not always, but
I'm talking about like the people.
I know. I saw the recent.
Yeah,
stuff.
You know what I mean.
When the guy in the roof. Talking about
Louis is out.
Yeah, him. but I'm talking about when he had that buzz.
He did have that buzz. That Punisher goes in the club right
still,
now.
Yeah, still. He ended up going to jail. He said that about himself. The Debo.
Debo, yeah.
Right. G-Stack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I remember at one point in time, Pretty Mo, yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
When they all had the city behind them.
So was IMPD.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I wonder if that is a coincidence or if that is.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I don't know. But every time the city gets behind somebody, Maxie's actually doing the right thing. So I don't.
Right.
Hell, even G Fresh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You sit down.
Yeah. So
Maxie and G Fresh were together.
Yeah.
So they had a video on MTV.
Yeah. So it's like, man, every time we feel like we about to cross that national platform, you know what I mean?
I'll say this though, just my personal opinion. I feel like they seem to be trending upward in Indianapolis as far as like the music scene, like the independent culture, the nature of the artists.
I can tell that by Trees.
They seem to just grasp things a lot better than they did, let's say, 15 years ago.
I say the only difference is, though, everybody is trying to do it by themselves.
You have to be on a united front.
Yeah.
I think, though, to your point, a lot of people are getting behind people.
Sorry for cutting you off.
In order to try to propel and make that happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do see more unification right now than I have seen in a long time.
And I
see a lot of people. I don't know. I see a lot of
working
potential.
Together.
A lot of potential.
I agree.
A lot of like realistic potential. So that's good. But yeah, all artists are just artists. You don't have to put the local quantifier on there. So don't do that.
Unless you aspire to be.
That's going to make a great segment.
unless it's like something where it makes sense to call somebody local, to where like if you're saying, yeah, he was local when he was doing that, or you know what I mean, but don't do it. Just call him artist, man.
Yeah, if they own and they're really making moves out here, you just say, oh yeah, I know this artist from Indianapolis or St. Louis or Minneapolis or Tulsa or wherever you're from. You don't have to put local artists in front of it because it diminishes what they are to the people in that local market.
Yeah. All right. So Exhibit believes hip hop has become a mockery of itself. He says hip hop is huge and it made so many people so much money. They think anybody can do it. Everybody feels that hip hop is so accessible that anybody can do it. It's become a mockery of itself. It's become too accessible. There was a time when there was somebody that you had to go into their office and get an investment into your career. Now, if you just have a laptop and Wi-Fi, you can be an artist. People do themselves a disservice trying to participate in that.
Yeah,
to that you say
pimp my ride.
That's what I was about to say.
But at the same time,
somebody that's talking about a mockery
since 1998, as far as I'm concerned.
But it's not only hip hop though. Anybody can literally do whatever
anything.
Kind of music they want on their laptop with GarageBand, with their own equipment that they bought. We only talk about hip hop because that's the only thing that we see.
I mean, country
artists that's going on in every genre.
Country artists felt that way about Lil Nas X.
Come on.
Yeah, but you know what? Because he was gay and black.
Yeah.
But this was before he came out as gay.
But he's still black.
He's still black.
He was definitely black.
He had to get Billy Ray Cyrus. He had to bring him out of retirement in order for them to accept him.
And then he just flipped it on him.
Just went all the way left.
But you know what? Technically, we have a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, you needed somebody to sign off on you and say that, hey, these guys and get network sponsors. But you know what? No. Now we have cameras. We have our own format and computers and we can edit things. And
in the new media
way people consume media, they stream everything. The fact that we're on YouTube That means we have a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, not channel. A mockery.
We have a TV show the same way Noriega has a TV show.
Yeah.
The same way Matt Hoffa has a TV show.
Yeah.
The same way DJ Vlad has a TV show.
Or the same way that a lot of these national syndicated stations have TV shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Minus the ad money. Yeah. But, what I would also say, I mean, actually, we do get ad money.
Yeah.
But further, he actually said, he says, because we... It goes back to our unionization talking points. He said, we should have unionized. We should have had some kind of union. We should have a board. We should have organized ourselves. Because right now, you know, becoming 50 years later, we still don't own ish. So until we own it, until we control it, until we have some say who gets to call themselves this and call themselves that, like everybody else, it's going to continue to spiral out of control. And that's why we're not on billboard charts.
Yeah.
Because that's nobody is in the pilot seat guiding us to where we're supposed to go. To that, you say.
Translation, I am broke and help me.
I wouldn't even say that much. I would say that he's disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't understand what's going on out here, because you can't sit up and tell me that culturally these people that are coming up putting out stuff aren't, you know what I'm saying, from this background and weren't raised by hip hop or things of that nature. He's pretty much coming at this as somebody that wants to gatekeep, and we've talked about that. He wants somebody to have to answer to someone in order to get on.
But
and that's kind of whack.
There should be some gatekeeping.
I agree.
There should be some, because
not in the sense of what he's talking about.
No,
like just because
there shouldn't be a committee to decide.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to decide if somebody is good enough to come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you just want to like put music out and put it out there into the world, but maybe if he's talking from a specific angel of
platform.
If there's like this hip hop foundation and you want to be labeled under hip hop, then you have to meet these standards. You know, and
there was a point in time where Tupac didn't like Exhibit. So Tupac was out before Exhibit. So he could have been like, nah, we don't want to hear from him.
Yeah,
if we go on what Exhibit is talking about.
If he's on the board.
If he's on the board. We don't want him to come out because we don't like what he's talking about.
It's a shame. Ninjas in the rap game. Mm-hmm. All for the money and the fame. Paparazzi.
That's Exhibit.
Look, man.
Why can't he go on?
If you wasn't in the rap game for some money and fame, what is your MF and purpose?
Yeah.
That's what one of Tupac's people said.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a,
I think that was fake.
Enlightened Exhibit.
Look, this is the thing, man. Exhibit, and I can say this because you know we have these conversations here kind of on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say Exhibit right now, and I loved Exhibit's like probably first three albums.
Yeah, Relentless was hard.
Yeah.
His work like on the Chronic 2 was hard.
You sound like the old man in the club.
What was it? 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Yeah.
Restless. And then X.
Yeah.
And Restless was his best one to me.
Man versus Machine. Good record. People didn't listen to it, though. But I'm saying that you sound like the old man in the club. Because when, you know, this is what happens. Because, you know, I can relate to you because I'm the old man in the club. It's just I'm there every week. So I've seen how things just evolve in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the same way we look at each other when certain records come on, we'll be like, and we shake our heads. But at the same time, we're like, look, this ain't for us. This ain't, you know, just like if it had been 20 years ago and you were standing in the club and you were 40 something years old, it's not for you either.
20 years ago.
What happens? This is a general question. What happens when there's no type of gatekeeping at all?
Sexy Red.
No, you know, no. I have to disagree because the gatekeeping now is 100% with the people.
That's real
because
they pick and choose what they like.
Yeah, but you know what? The people, you're right. But you know what? Once something is over with, the people get rid of it.
That's real.
That is true.
Because you see
they throw the toy away like Andy on freaking a Toy Story.
You know, because once the people are done with you, whatever you're trying to do, and then you try to reheat those French fries, they'd be like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
We was just talking about Nicki.
We talking about Megan. And the Megan's not, she ain't even been out that long, but so, like, when people are done with you, they're done with you, and we can't, there's no industry force, that can keep you in my imagination of people to where they'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll let this go.
Meg still has a chance to.
She still got some embers in the fire.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if this next project she puts out is heat, she'll be back.
She's got to get back to the old Meg that actually had a certain level. Like, I can say this, her music had a certain level of humor, of cleverness, but like after that whole Tory Lanez thing, like it just took, it was somewhere else.
Victim. I'm a victim.
And it wasn't even that, but there was something missing from her music.
Twerking.
So
no, she's still twerking.
So back on the subject though.
Okay.
Not to stray too far. Would we say, is there any type of solution moving forward in the sense of for where we're at, for how media is released, for how this stuff like comes out? Do we just, is the look just to embrace everything that comes out? And when I say embrace, when I say embrace, I'm not saying like embrace it, but how is it monitored, or is it just free flowing wildness?
It's free flowing wildness. Yeah, you can't police it right now because Sexy Red actually, before she got popping, she redid that. What is it, Vanessa Carlton, where she's playing the piano and
a thousand miles.
She redid the 1,000 miles of pop 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 pop. That was her.
Okay,
doing that song, talking about shooting up.
That was Sexy Red.
Yeah, that was Sexy Red.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah,
oh, so many people horrible. Have done that though.
Yeah, so many people, but she did it too. And that one was actually popular. The one that she had made it kind of, it went viral essentially.
Mm.
And that's what kind of got eyes on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she capitalized on it.
So let me ask you this question. Should there be a distinction between, I don't know, this could actually go beyond hip hop realistically, but should there be a distinction in some sort of way between this popular viral stuff that pops off and literally hip hop culture? In the same way, this could be a conversation across the board though.
No, I think ultimately, man, every artist deserves to put their stuff out.
What if they're not really artists? We talked about this last week.
Yeah, we did.
That's a thing. That's a, oh, ooh.
I mean, but are we,
I mean,
are we TV hosts? Are we journalists?
That's a good question. Yeah. You know, like, are we? No, I would say we're not journalists. We're commentators, right?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like
we're not a parody though.
That's true.
But somebody would say, "Are you guys really commentators?" You know, there's always going to be that question.
Yeah. There will, but
well, who gave you the right to speak on that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you get to a certain level of being able to do this on a certain level, and what we put out is good,
to whom?
To us.
Exactly.
And obviously to other people because they use our stuff.
Hey man, I've spent countless amount of dollars to be able to speak on some of this stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I've purchased all of these projects, you know what I mean, of these artists.
Like yes. Music.
You
know projects. What I mean? Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's part of the making of
magazines,
your
man. Etc. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I got the right to comment on some of the things that I say.
But at the same time, like anybody right now can challenge you on that, regardless of who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But anybody could challenge anybody on any platform.
But
they don't have a platform.
Is it provocative?
Yeah. Does
it get the people going?
They don't have a platform. Just like we can sit here and talk about people putting out music and we're not putting out music.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying?
I do.
You
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't put it. I play music that people put out.
Right, right.
So in that sense, I can critique it. I can be like, people don't want to hear that.
So,
because yeah. okay. I see it firsthand.
Yes.
So is that problematic?
No.
I know that we do it, and we're all part of it.
I think it's a solution.
General.
I think it's part of the solution.
Solution to what?
To tell you, this is not what you're doing. It's not working. So try something else.
Man, I'm so lost where we're at right now.
Me too.
But it still kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Exhibit's comments.
He's upset that he feels like anybody can put out a rap record right now.
Well, anybody can. And let's just leave it at that.
But I think that's kind of what I'm getting to. At this point, he's actually right.
Yeah.
Anybody can put anything out. There is no type of middleman. If people like it, regardless of if they're people that eat their hair or if they're people that don't eat their hair, it doesn't matter if there's more people that eat their hair that like it, then that's all that matters.
Look, y'all are trying to do rollout still. And you know what? If the people like whatever, because like I said, I'm not going to call any names just because I don't want to seem like I'm hating or I'm endorsing.
Do it, man.
All right. You know what? Look, the people like Sexy Red right now.
Yes.
I'm not going to say Sexy Red. Because Sexy Red is not as harmful as far as image goes to me
as
Sukiyana.
Yeah, but they don't like, but people don't actually like
her. They're in the same. They ride in the same
But what Sukiana records do you actually play?
None.
The one with Sexy Red?
Not even the one in Sexy Red. But when you see the Sexy Red is still somehow, Sexy Red was still invited.
She's likable.
She was invited to the MTV Awards. She wasn't nominated for anything. She wasn't performing, and she doesn't have any records out that anybody care about. That's where sometimes I get into the industry plant thing, because it's like, okay, we're going to invite this person who clearly is trading dignity for attention.
Led across the carpet.
Yeah, and so that's where I have a problem with they just let anybody into this thing we call the entertainment industry, because at least I can say, look, Sexy Red got records people like. Sukiana is just somebody who's willing to demean herself for attention.
I feel like this is I agree with you, Byron. Uh-huh. I agree that, and I've said this on the show before, I agree that some level of gatekeeping is important.
Some.
But I do not have the answers of how much gatekeeping is good, because I also acknowledge that gatekeeping is also probably more so bad than good.
But think about it. There is no way to do it. There is absolutely no way to stop somebody from shooting whatever they're going to shoot. Mm-hmm. And as long as it follows YouTube guidelines, they can put it up and it's up tomorrow.
It really depends on if the people like it.
If the people like it and it gets chopped and screwed on these social media platforms and it gains steam, then what are you going to do as a gatekeeper?
So essentially,
tell these people that they can't do it.
I guess you could not talk about it as a platform. Like we could not talk about that completely. We can ignore it, but that's really all we can do. Really, right?
That's all you can do.
I mean, essentially, Jay Moore was right, man. Like the people are the real gatekeepers.
They are. They've been the gatekeepers the whole time.
No,
it's just that they have way more power and influence now because it's coming right to this.
Yeah,
it's coming right to this every single day. I don't have to go through any avenue to get approval for me to put my stuff out.
We're all old enough to remember when it was like world premiere. So-and-so has this video.
Right.
It's going to premiere on MTV, VH1, and BET all at the same time.
And time stopped.
And you remember where you are when this album or this.
You had to watch that one thing.
So to our conversation, I think that if we can't control anything, and we still want to
bring it back home.
And we still want to have like some sort of, I don't know if autonomy is the right word, but some sort of like
quality.
We have to be able to distinguish what art is versus what is just content, right?
Yeah.
I think it's up to the people that actually observe it and listen to it, even though they're going to get talked down onto from those super fans or those people literally tell people what it really is, and just accept the fact that we are going to get all the people that are just liking said person simply because she's popular, simply because that's what they want to like right now, and just accept the fact that we're looking at this from a different angle, and if you don't like it, then you can keep it moving. I don't know what else there is to really
That's facts.
That was a bar right there. Like separating
when you look at artists from content creators.
Yes.
I think that's what it boils down to. Because,
that's the conversation, really.
Yeah, because we have a lot of content creators, only a few artists.
Yeah. A whole lot.
And I think that's the problem with this conversation is we're trying to have an artistic conversation
about content creators.
Mm-hmm. About content creators, but artists also have to be content creators to even get anybody to pay attention to
because
them.
Exactly. I will say this. Sukiana, great content creator.
Great. Mm-hmm. Oh,
don't think
yes.
anything of her as an artist.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Sexy Red's the same.
Red don't have an OnlyFans.
Oh, she don't?
Yeah, she ain't skeeting on camera.
I didn't know Sukiyama did either.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'm not paying for that.
Pay for it.
Yeah.
But it's accessible.
I mean, it's essentially like looking at all these people through a kaleidoscope. You got all these different views and, you know, a kaleidoscope has all the screens on it. So you're seeing it differently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of the same context.
And I think what Exhibit is saying is simply that. He's trying to figure out, I don't know if I necessarily agree with his approach, but it's like, how can we actually distinguish
artists
versus content
creators?
Like,
same,
how can we actually
day,
do that?
That's
at
what
the
he
end
was
of the
saying.
It goes back to the consumer, though.
Yeah.
Because the consumer, unfortunately, are putting people up on a higher standard or on a platform than what they should be.
So,
well, it depends on, you know, the Like when we was talking about the last time I was here, you know, you got the trained ear and the people that just want to have fun. You know,
there's more people that just want to have fun than the trained ear people.
Exactly.
But I will say this: the marketplace I feel like self correction a certain way, because you know, Lil Nas X came out with his cowboy record, and then he came out. He was twerking on the devil.
Yeah.
Where is he? What's he? What's Lil Nas X doing right now?
The industry baby, where he was dancing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What is he doing right now?
Mm-hmm. I feel like there is probably, I mean, we talked about this last week a little bit. I think there is probably like a timeline on certain type of people that create certain type of content. Like if you don't evolve your content, even if you're using artistry as your type of content, then if you're not evolving that, then people are going to stop. They're going to go on to something else.
Yeah, you know, like they don't have the option to.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, there are people at one point, they would have much, if you said, hey, would you rather be the Yin Yang Twins? Or would you rather be Nas? They'd have definitely picked the Yin Yang Twins.
Yes.
True.
You know what I'm saying? But if you ask somebody right now, would you rather be the Yin Yang Twins? Or would you rather be Nas? Despite what criticisms we might have had of his newest offering, Nas is definitely who I'd want to be instead of the Yin Yang.
Well, that's us, though. Because I think at any given time, if you ask us who we wanted to be, we would all say Nas. But the masses, they see the Yin Yang Twins. It's fun. It's popular. It's
But if you want to see how they're viewed,
I think the difference is
they had their moment.
30 years,
yes,
and five.
Yeah, there's some people who are like, look, give me an incredibly successful 5 years, as opposed to, you know, where I'm being celebrated 30 years later. I don't want to do the work.
They really just want one flash in the pan.
Yeah,
and then sit down and they're
using the art to a means to an end, and it comes all the way back to
their art is more
capitalism.
Once again, they're trying
to make money because art isn't valued unless it is making money.
Unless you can commodify said art and create a product. Like I said, are we going to be talking about Sweetie in 10 years? But no, I don't think so. Sorry, Sweetie.
We're talking about a majority of these artists.
But Sweetie got a Happy Meal with McDonald's.
Yeah.
At one point, you
know, are we stinky booty?
are we really going to be talking about Megan in 10 years? When she's 35, as opposed, but at the same time, like, you think so? I don't really think so.
Because once talking about Kim.
Yeah, because once she becomes a middle-aged woman and can't shake her ass like she can right now,
she ain't gonna have them magnets.
Yeah,
Tori shot her.
But at the same time, that too. But at the same time, to the time when she was hot, she was able to get herself a chicken meal at Popeyes and sauce.
She also got her degree too, so she has a backup plan.
Hottie sauce.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just saying. Like,
I tried it.
A lot of you are a lot of MCs, and if you catch lightning in a bottle,
hold on to it,
make your money,
save your money,
because the thing is, when it's over, it's going to be over, and you cannot reheat old french fries. Maybe if you got an air fryer.
But I'm just saying,
it's still not the same.
That's the brothers of the night for coming on the show.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Like, for real, man. Thank y'all, man. I really do appreciate y'all.
No doubt.
Let me come on here and chop it up with y'all.
I appreciate
already.
It. As always. Next week, Mr. Kinetic's going to be on. He's never actually been on the show, so that's kind of cool. He's a local.
Oh, a local, hey, local, I was about to fella. Say, there you go, man.
He's a local teacher.
He actually MCs for Butler Bulldogs basketball.
Yeah. So, but when I say local, I just mean like he's a local legend sorts, right?
Very much so.
But he's also an educator and all those things. I think he was teaching a hip hop class at Butler for a minute. I don't know if he still is.
He was definitely doing.
He's like the Indianapolis version of Ninth Wonder. So,
and they actually got a chance to link up a tree. So that was
which was dope. So yeah, he'll be on next week. Again, shouts to Byron, Beja 7's out. Go and just pester him and tell him to watch The Wire while he's gone. And maybe
you got a lot of time on your hands.
Maybe he'll stop.
You got a flight. Go ahead and download it to your phone.
Man, that's true.
Check it out.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So till next week, we will see y'all. Thanks, y'all. Subscribe, hit the bell, do all those things that you're supposed to do. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
In a minute.
Bye.